Candy.
DoorWorks, I want to know why.
Not yet, DoorWorks. Jeez, mess up my
Wait
intro.
Wait your turn.
All right, let me try this again. Good morning, world. Good morning, Wisconsin. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great start to your snowy Tuesday out there, everybody. Those of us listening in Wisconsin, I should say.
Yes.
It is definitely one of those mornings, and we know winter is here now.
It has arrived.
If you needed a reminder, if you needed somebody to let Mother Nature to tell you.
We cannot live in denial any longer.
No, unfortunately not. But we can hide. That's what we do. We hide from Mother Nature in the winter. We live in shacks, and all we do is we go from one little shack to another. We call those shacks houses and gas stations and things, but it's really shacks.
And in the meantime, we find, you know, this is an excuse to bake. And to, you know, stock up on our fat supplies for the winter, because we need them now. We got to stay warm. It's a perfect excuse.
This weather is the perfect time to have breakfast for dinner. Like, this is perfect breakfast for dinner weather.
And
this is soup weather.
Sticky buns all day long.
Yes.
Whenever you want them.
Yes. Yes.
And cinnamon rolls.
Unless that means you fell down and landed on your sticky bum. No, that's not good.
It's a bad time.
It's a bad time. We hope you're having a good time out there. Please take your time out there.
Slow down. The roads are slick.
Look out for each other. We got fun things lined up this morning. Of course, 7 o'clock hour, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. We'll also have some other fun things lined in there. And in 9 o'clock hour, that ain't right stories, good stories of the day. Got some fun stuff to kick things off, Melissa. But I have a couple of big ones I want us to go over. Sometime this hour, we'll get into a Thanksgiving food off. It's
Ooh,
a food off. It's
a food off.
A food face off.
Right.
One's got to go, and we're going to go through these kind of things and see which one will go over them.
Which one's going to stay. Okay.
We're going to kick off the 8 o'clock hour with an interesting one. Does your family have its own dialect? I'm going to get into that.
Okay.
I think that'll be interesting. That should be fun. I love dialects. I think they're one of the most fascinating things about human beings.
Yeah.
They're just one of the coolest things if you take time and really look into our language. And the way we speak, not just to each other, but just in general and through history, voice, language is just, it is probably one of the most understudied, but one of the coolest things there is about human beings.
It is.
So it'd be kind of cool to get into that a little bit later.
Oh, absolutely. And most of us don't think we have an accent, especially if you haven't traveled.
Yes.
If you've never traveled anywhere, you don't realize it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It is fascinating.
So that's coming up for you. We're looking forward to diving into those. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good. I made it here.
Yeah, I should say that's a win right there, no matter what.
I really wanted to get out the door early, but I also really wanted food.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I made food.
Yeah, right.
Instead of getting out the door early. I still made it here. Not the early time that I wanted, but I still got the news done in time. So
there
we're calling that a win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the couple times that I slid out on the road, I maintained being on the road, and there were no other vehicles, so all was well.
I'm very glad you're okay. I'm glad you're safe. Of course, first and foremost, I will say that as long as you get out of that tailspin healthy, I actually don't mind, like, early in the season getting something like that.
You get the feel for it,
yes,
then.
Yes.
And I'm driving a different vehicle that I've never driven in snow before.
Right, right.
So it's a learning experience, better done in, you know, an empty parking lot than the highway.
Yeah, yes.
But
yeah.
At least there were no other cars around. When you can't see the edges of the road, and if your tires just go off of that edge just a little bit, where the pavement meets the gravel, that's enough to send you into a tailspin.
Doesn't take much.
Nope.
No. And you can have good tires and have it happen. You can four-wheel drive and
have
it happen.
I was in all-wheel drive. Yeah. It was all those things.
You know, I don't know that any... I know my dad told me, you know, how to handle black ice and those kind of things. I don't know until it actually happened that I understood how to do it. And I don't know if I could actually explain it to somebody. But when you're in the middle of it and you're having it happen, you know exactly how to... You trust your vehicle. You trust the... Okay. I just gotta roll with this. Just go, mm-hmm, literally, mm-hmm. Yep. Just go with it.
Yep. Spin the wheel carefully with control, but also with feel. You can't
right.
really.
You have to feel it. You
have
really
to feel
do.
It.
Yeah. It's one of those weird situations in life. It's a little harder to explain, mm-hmm. but if you've done it, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Well, and for like my dad, when he was teaching me how to drive, when it got to be wintertime, he took me out on a snowy road, hmm. and he's like, "All right, I want you to put it in a spin, hmm. and then I want you to recover from it."
Nice.
You know, to be able to learn that control, it's good to do it in an empty, snowy parking mm-hmm. lot if you can, because you're not going to hit anything. I mean, obviously avoid light poles, but just to be able to experience it, because until you've experienced, you don't know.
I was on the Dan Ryan going to the city with the first one I hit, and it's a 4-lane, and it's about 5-6 in the morning, somewhere in between there, so it wasn't too busy.
Well, that's good.
Just being on a major highway and you know, heading to Chicago and everything, and having it happen, like, I think it actually worked in my favor in a sense, because everyone I've been in since then is nothing compared to what that one was, and then that nightmare, the scariness of that and everything.
Because your adrenaline just shoots through the roof.
Yeah. Like I can still feel it right now. That was like 10 years ago. longer than that. It was much longer than 10 years ago. But.
And then you get to this point in our lives, and it happens this morning, and I'm doing it one-handed while I'm putting my coffee back in the coffee holder.
The things we adapt to in the Midwest, nobody in this country...
I probably shouldn't admit that.
No, maybe not. But that's okay. We'll fix it in post. the things we do in the Midwest, you do not understand if you live in other parts of the world, especially if that's all you've ever lived in, mm-hmm. down south, the West Coast. East Coast people understand it a little bit, but it's still different here.
Yeah.
We got different temps here and everything. It's different. It's a different animal here. And speaking of different animals, we have a couple of animal stories to kick things off today. Our headline from this one comes from us from UPI.com. They are one of the sites we go to for good news stories and also oddball stories.
Okay.
Shout out to Ben Hooper for this one. Escape Mustang captured after swimming across bay in Wisconsin.
Oh!
Authorities in Wisconsin said that they captured a loose horse that ran wild on several roads and even swam across the bay. The Door County Sheriff's Office said the owner of the horse and said the animal was a wild Mustang and warned members of the public should not attempt to capture it. The Mustang was spotted running loose just after 2 o'clock Sunday in the area of Bayshore Drive in the township of Stevens Powell, I think. And the horse was then seen swimming across Green Bay to Pottawatomie State Park.
just wanted to go to the park, man.
I mean, I think you're on the side. I think so. The horse was spotted running near multiple other roads before being corralled early Monday morning. Quote, "We would like to send thanks to Jesus Chewy Jargarly, who assisted in corralling the Mustang," the sheriff's office in a Facebook post said. So this gentleman helped them.
Corral
the Mustang. I'm sorry, the fact that his name was Jesus and corral the horse. I mean,
he
that's
probably
just,
says it Jesus.
Jesus, yes, absolutely. It just wasn't as funny that way.
So, I know.
But you're right.
We want to thank Jesus. I mean, Jesus.
I've known a couple of Jesuses growing up, mm-hmm. but at least two of them went with the nickname Chewy. I don't know if that's common in Latin or not. I don't know. I knew a lot of Latin people, grew up with a lot of Latin people. I've never heard. But yeah, that's interesting.
I just thought they liked Star Wars.
I think you're right about this Mustang. I think it was just trying to go for a swim, check out the state park. Pottawatomie State Park is one of our beautiful state parks in this area, in this state.
And it's a wild Mustang. It was just trying to get back to the wild.
They have got to be one of the most beautiful things in the universe.
I didn't realize we had wild Mustangs in Wisconsin.
I don't know much about that one. Yeah, I know a lot of horses, and I know a lot about Wisconsin horses. I didn't know about that either, though. So I'm not sure if that's new or it's something that just escaped my knowledge.
Or I wonder if it's just the fact that it is a wild horse as opposed to living in the wild.
Yeah.
Which they do out west. This one obviously is owned by somebody.
It's pretty cool to think that in our country that there still exists wild horses.
It
might seem a little silly, but it is actually kind of cool that it still exists. Like, it's not like your normal like bears or different deer. These are an animal that we have domesticated in mm-hmm. many ways, mm-hmm. and that there are still wild ones out there. It's not like there are wild dogs running around still. There kind of are.
Kind of.
But I mean, as far as like there's a fleet of them. Like, it's nothing to see them and stuff.
Well,
but
horses, while they're pretty to look at in the wild, that are wild. There, we have other wild populations, not so much. Like if domestic pigs get out, they will turn feral and go wild pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They're not so pretty to look at.
Not as much. And our next story here, a deer breaks into a Wisconsin home, gets trapped for 3 hours.
Oh, my.
Yeah, yeah. A Wisconsin couple said that they received a shock when an unwelcome guest broke in through a glass door, an adult deer. Sue and Richard Sujek said that they were at their West Allis home when they heard a loud crash and discovered a deer had broken through their glass storm door and was ransacking their living room. Looking for beef jerky, looking for... No word on what he was looking for.
The marshmallows.
The couples said the deer ran up the stairs and investigated every room in an apparent hunt for an exit. The deer was trapped in their home for about 3 hours while awaiting from the awaiting help from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources personnel. Anderson said the deer may have been drawn to the home by a pair of wooden deer holiday decorations in the couple's yard. He said the buck then may have seen its own reflection in the glass door and attempted to initiate a fight. And then the DNR are saying along with this, that's probably what happened. So this kind of thing has happened before, apparently.
Okay.
This deer sees these fake deer, but he don't know they're fake deer. He just sees possible mates.
Right.
So,
and then possible enemy.
Yes. And goes challenging that enemy.
And gets lost in a house.
Imagine this happens to you as a human being.
You're out just trying to date.
Just trying to find a date. It's cold out, man. You want to find somebody to spend the nights with and everything. And you think you see that. And then as you're approaching, you see a reflection. But it's not, you think it's, you see another person, but it's really a reflection. And you start a fight with yourself in front of fake mannequin women. Like that. There are certain things in life, I don't know how you live them down. I'm pretty sure you turn into a hermit after that. See, you just go out into the Ozarks and live your life.
I kept going with that, though. Instead of busting through a door, you end up falling through a wormhole and end up in an alternate reality. And we could go whole hog with this.
It's another possibility. there's endless possibilities. I keep telling people this is going to keep happening. These animals are not, they're going to hunt things down. They're looking for food or a mate or whatever. Mm-hmm.
If so, I guess the lesson to be learned here is if you want to put fake deer in your yard, cover your glass windows so they can't see their reflection.
Something like that.
Or, put up those glass clings you can get.
Yeah, yeah.
Put a Santa in there.
That's not bad. Steph and I were talking about this, talking about decorating the windows out here. And by that, I mean Steph was talking about it, and I was agreeing with her.
You were just supporting the conversation.
Yes, because she's right. It would look really cool. She was thinking of a couple things. What's that fake snow you put on glass? Maybe that's what
that
you need.
Spray? There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, you need some of that on there.
Yeah,
animals will...
So it's not a full reflection of itself?
Yeah.
I don't know if you value your, glass doors.
Yeah, I don't know. I do love being able to look out the windows this time of year. Whatever we do to these windows, I've got to be able to see out pretty well, though.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful view.
Mm-hmm.
We got some beautiful things going on this morning. We are, of course, going to hang out with you up until 10 o'clock. Be listening because we're going to have some turkey trivia coming up a little bit later. Looking forward to that. We'll also be talking about the Green Bay giveaway. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to welcome in another chamber member, a new chamber member. We have Young Living Essentials Oils joining us.
Ooh.
Carol Endries is going to be here.
Nice.
We're going to talk to them about Young Living Essential Oils, new business in the area. Looking forward to hearing more about them and what that's all about.
Okay.
And then we will kick things off with Morning Magazine for the Week with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Katie Wright will be with us, Executive Events Director, I should say.
Right on.
And then in part two, our good friend Ben Eberline going to be with us, Community Engagement Director with United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties.
Ben's a good guy.
Ben's a great guy. We love talking with Ben. And really looking forward to getting, I believe Ben is going to have the most recent numbers from the Allis Report for us.
Oh, good.
That's always great data. Really interesting to go over, especially being a year, quote unquote, removed from the pandemic, and hearing how those numbers are now.
Yeah.
It's also very insightful, and it's a bit of a preview in some ways of seeing what the United Way is going to be doing in our area. They take those numbers very seriously, and that, along with community feedback and surveys and all that, really figure out, okay, where are we most needed?
Right.
Where can we be the most useful?
Mm-hmm.
I really admire how they
do
that.
What can help the community the most?
There's this way of doing it for so long of this is what we do. We hope it helps.
There's that method.
Yeah. I don't think anybody goes to the extent in the detail that the United Way does, but most of your nonprofits nowadays are more about what does this community need?
Right. Like, they're trying to target what is most needed.
It's really smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit later today on this radio station, it is a ball night. Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Green Bay. Tip-off will be, our pregame will start at 7 for that. And you can flip between the dials. You can go between that and our sister station, WIRI, because tip-off at 7 for Marquette at Purdue as well. Remember that all your Marquette basketball is going to be on WIRI this year, along with, of course, your River Kings.
Right on.
We'll be back with more. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar and have some more fun coming up at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. 7:21 on the clock. I got to get this clock fixed over here. Keeps doing that to me. Time to dive into the National Day of Calendar. As we mentioned yesterday, it's Road Safety Week. Now between November 20th. Keep that in mind, everybody. And today, it is National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day.
I actually wiped out the freezer yesterday. Does that count?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Definitely. I had to make space because I had to put the broth in there so that the fat would congeal on top. So I had to take everything out.
Nice.
That was a perfect time to clean it.
Seems like a perfect day to clean with the weather and everything here and stuff.
At least throw on some rockin' music and jam out.
It is the perfect thing to do cleaning-wise. Listen to your soundtrack for cleaning and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Get through. It's also Steve Irwin Day. That's a good one. Inspiring people all over the world to get more interested in the animals that occupy their lands. Steve Irwin was known as the crocodile hunter, this Australian animal lover and conservationist who established wildlife warriors to care for and support animals who might be at risk or in danger in Australia as well as all over the world. Established by Australian Zoo in 2007, the year following Steve's death, Steve Irwin Day is meant to honor and celebrate this man's legacy. Since the Irwin family was instrumental in funding the zoo, he is close to their hearts. In 1970, when Steve was only 8 years old, his family moved to Queensland, where they opened a reptile park that would eventually become the Australia Zoo.
Wow.
Steve really has a lot of ties. I mean, his family has a lot of ties. A lot of ties to Australia and the wildlife conservation there. And while his wife and his two kids continue to do that great work in that family's name, that's so remarkable and so like such a beautiful thing to see in history and everything. There's a gentleman named Ron McGill. He runs the Miami Zoo, I believe the Miami Dade. The Miami Zoo, and a couple of other conservationalist things that he works on down there. He's been doing it for almost as long as Steve Irwin and everything. And other people that I know that knew Steve Irwin, you've heard in interviews, you've heard them talk about it. And especially now that we've been removed from it, a lot of the emotions are taken from that moment of losing him and everything. One of the last lessons he gave us was the way he passed and understanding that you could be Steve Irwin and these are still wild animals. These are still anything can happen. If you the idea of trying to predict these things or something like that, you've always got to walk into these things with understanding I'm in their territory. This is their world now. Like that kind of thing, a stingray of all things. It just speaks to how important it is when you're being with around animals and all that to respect them.
Yes, it's hard to believe it's been that many years already.
It's not to say I don't want this to sound like I'm like blaming somebody, him for what happened or something
that. No, I don't think that's that's not how it's coming across. It's you need to respect them. You're in their territory.
Let's see. It is also Raisin Bran Cereal Day.
I like Raisin Bran.
Weirdo.
I am not weird.
No, you're not.
I mean, I am weird, but yes.
Yes, but not
because
of this.
Not in this.
Raisin Bran itself is a good source of fiber, and the addition of raisins helps create a mild sweetness that that in a world where over-sugary cereals exist, it provides a balance of flavor and health benefits that anyone can enjoy.
It's a good way to add fiber to your daily diet.
Yeah, yeah. Raisin Bran cereal was famous during the 1920s. And, wait a minute. Okay, we got to get, there's some interesting history here.
Ooh,
raisin
drama.
Bran, similar to cornflakes, but with raisin and a much milder flavor, was originally made famous by Kellogg and General Mills. These two companies, however, weren't the first to craft the cereal. Skinner's, a brand that made the Raisin Bran cereal famous during the 1920s, sued both of these companies when they both rebranded the cereals with their logos.
Mm.
Skinner's original had a monopoly on the cereal, but as these two companies reined in, and over the next 20 years, the argument over what small grocery stores would stock what cereal for consumers to have.
Hmm.
Then in 1944, the Supreme Court labeled Raisin Bran as a description of the ingredients in the cereal instead of a name created by a specific company, leaving the cereal without a trademark.
Oh, poor Skinner.
Today, companies like Skinner can use the Raisin Bran concept without any trademark conflict. Now, Kellogg's, one of the major companies that have grown over the past decade, has Raisin Bran as a food option for consumers. And it's just interesting.
Yeah, that's the fight over how they can label things.
I think if you're ever interested in just like history and just, you know, random history that may be not going to change your day-to-day life, look into the cookie wars. The cookie wars with Nabisco and all these ones.
Oh, I bet.
It's crazy. Like the things that they had to do to just like beat each other to the market. The reason why monopolies are so dangerous are deep. And there's a lot to them. But I think maybe the biggest danger of it is it stops pushing you creatively. It stops pushing you what you want. I wouldn't want to be the only morning show in the market. I wouldn't want to be the only morning show in the world or anything like that. I feel like you, even if you're trying your hardest not to, you're still going to lax. You're still going to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I think competition is a good thing. I think competition is necessary in many things in life.
Plus, it makes us come up with these really crazy names for cookies.
Yes, yeah, right. National,
like, oh, go, National go Spicy Hermit Cookie Day?
That is just weird. Cookies have been a favorite dessert for people all over. However, there's a special kind of cookie out there with an obscure but unique history that takes place in the heart of New England, and that's the Spicy Hermit Cookie. If you want to know about the spicy cookie, it's all about and how you can make it. Let's see here. Okay, so let's get some history in. It's history time, everybody. The first mention of the Hermit Cookie was in the magazine Republican, published on July in 1888. The author, Anna Barrows Papers, was a public school teacher at the time and taught cookery and home economics to children. Her article mentioned the idea of what foods to bring into a picnic. Of the first two mentions, which were potted meats and acid jellies, both of which don't sound as good.
No.
The last mention involved a cookie that's, quote, quite as good as a fruitcake, as a prideful representative of domesticality. She praised the cookie's simplicity as well as its flavor as the ultimate convenience cookie. The lore behind the cookie, however, still remained elusive. It is believed that sailors and travelers would take this cookie with them along their journeys. From the 1890s to the 1950s, wow, long time there. The Hermit Cookie was a favorite cookie among many people because of its arrangement of spices and long-lasting preservability. And it was the most popular in New England area of the United States. Its ingredients can be added or changed up according to preferences and be enjoyed by anyone as a childhood favorite.
I've never heard of this cookie.
Never, but I need one. I need to try one now.
Okay, but what's in it?
Let's see. Generally made from allspice, cinnamon, cloves, and raisins, the Hermit Cookie is a cookie that can please anyone.
Wow.
Want to know how to make a delicious Hermit Cookie that people will love? Start off by preheating the oven at 350. Line a baking dish with two layers of parchment paper and lightly coat with non-stick spray. Whisk one and a half cups of flour, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, 3/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1/2 teaspoon of ginger, and 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg in a medium bowl. you can catch our podcast to maybe go. It might just be better to use your search engine to do this one.
Yeah, that's an intensive recipe.
There's a lot to
There's
this.
There's a lot to it.
I didn't realize it was going to keep going when I got in, when I jumped in there. Yeah, yeah. Not to give you guys like a quarter of a recipe or anything, but you're better off searching
for that one.
It's a good
start. It's a teaser.
There you go. I want to try that so bad.
They sound good.
We've done a lot of these that are things I want to try, and I'll be honest, like half the time I don't. This one I have to. I have to try that one.
Spicy Hermit Cookie.
It's also National Bundt Day.
I've never made a bundt cake.
Bundt cake. Oh, okay. I thought they meant like a bundt in baseball. I was about to talk about bunting.
This is not a sports reference, James.
Makes a lot more sense, actually. Good. Yes, that does.
Well, you said ball earlier, and I was thinking, who's playing baseball in this weather? I was like, oh, basketball. They play that inside, Melissa. Okay.
Oh, you're the best. Everyone loves a good piece of cake, but the truly enlightened know that there is no better cake than the bundt cake. The very shape of it speaks of a certain fancifulness that brings a bit of elegance to any affair it is brought to. The bundt cake doesn't indicate any particular recipe used in its creation, but instead speaks to its distinctive shape. A ring-shaped cake that can come in any number of configurations. If you love the whimsical shape of a bundt cake, then National Bundt Day is a good day for you.
You have to have a special pan to make a bundt cake, though. Yeah, I think it's like a springform pan is what it's called. I've never owned one, so I can't make a bundt cake.
I don't think I've ever been around somebody that's made one, but I've had plenty.
Hmm.
I think one of my aunts used to make one, or my grandmother did.
They look good.
Yeah, they are.
And who
really
doesn't
good.
Like cake?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, besides Seth.
Right. Yes. Of course. you had me a cake. National Philanthropy Day.
All right.
That's a great one, and there are some great people out there doing that. Of course, you can always be a part of those things.
Yeah, I mean, our United Way or our local food pantries.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell Bria about this one. My son too. They're both like this. It's I Love to Write Day. Writing is not just for the acclaimed authors. After all, they had to start somewhere too. And even though it may seem hard to believe, every famous writer started the first chapter of their first book with just a word.
Well, that makes sense.
Everything starts somewhere. And the greatest authors in the world and in history will tell you the best thing if you want to be a writer, and whether you want to be a professional writer or not. I will write my whole life. I don't really care if I'm published or not. I don't really write for that. Acting and all that stuff, that's what that's for. Writing is more personal for me and more for my the collective group of quote-unquote fans I've gained over the years I've been writing. Mm-hmm. But I like publishing things, but it's really here or there. More importantly to me, to the writing process, repetition. Write.
Yeah.
You put time aside to write. You don't have to go as far as Ernest Hemingway and handcuffing yourself to your typewriter for a half an hour every day.
I mean, that seems excessive.
But there are dedications. There are things you can do to it. And there's so many great things like at Macmillan and other places where you can go to take writing classes.
Oh, yeah.
Never a bad idea.
Mm-mm.
And speak to other writers. If they're any good at what they do, they'll be supportive. I think that goes a long way too. I think it's generally one of those things, just like we talk about with acting or painting or anything else, photography. If you want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're good at it or not. Who's to say? And you might get good at it after you do it for a while.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. It is National Drummer Day. I really thought that was National Drummer Boy Day. I almost misread that.
It's a little early for that yet. We haven't gotten through Thanksgiving.
A lot of great drummers in history, a lot of great drummers out there. And if you have a favorite band, you can thank the drummer, because I almost guarantee that they are the ones keeping the rhythm for the band. Them or the bass player, or both sometimes. Mm-hmm. National Recycling Day.
Excellent day.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great one. And it's nice to know that this isn't one that we have to get on a soapbox about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everybody understands the importance of recycling.
Yes.
And it is also one more, Entrepreneurs Day.
Entrepreneurs.
When you think about it, the world is crammed with great products that most people tend to take for granted now, but that were once non-existent. That is, until they were somehow dreamed up by a budding creative entrepreneur. That's a fantastic one. There's so many things, from postage stamps to jet engines, from cheeseburgers to microchips. Radical inventions by brilliant minds have changed the way we live our lives and the way our futures are shaped.
I know a small business owner, and she just posted this, and I wanted to find it quick and say it for you. It's entrepreneurs don't have time. We create time. Respect our time when you get it.
Ooh, is that good?
Yeah.
Oh, is that good? What a great line.
Yeah.
Oh, I really like that.
I thought that was good.
That's a really good one. There are a zillion great entrepreneurs in human history. Today's a great day to kind of go down that memory lane and kind of checking out some of those.
They're the lifeblood of our communities, too, because entrepreneurs create local businesses, and they keep local businesses and local communities thriving.
You think of some of the businesses that we have around here, and I'm just pulling from long-lasting ones. Misty's Menu, it's a restaurant, you know? It's not necessarily an entrepreneur, but the way that it's shaped, the building itself, I don't mean the inside, the way it's designed and everything. Opening a health and goods store, a store like that that sells supplements and things. Like nowadays, that's nothing. But opening a business like Family Natural Foods in this area at one point,
80 years ago,
that's you know, a lot different,
a little more risque for the time, you could say.
It's all kinds of that stuff, and there's so many more, and plenty more that are opening all the time. That are coming around and everything. So it's a really cool thing to see and be a part of as we go along in society.
Yes.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Hope you're having a good one out there. Happy Tuesday. Melissa and James here with you. We've got some fun stuff to get into. Right now, interesting mark we hit as a species, I should say. This is a hard number to digest, especially if you are in like traffic right now, or if you're waiting in line or something like that. The world's population officially hits 8 billion people today.
8 billion.
That's according to the UN. They do projections based on birth rates and life expectancy. And today is the day we cross the 8 billion mark. We've added another billion people in just over a decade. We were at 7 billion in 2011. If that seems like too many people, the good news is that population growth is slowing down. It should take 15 years before we hit 9 billion in 2037, and then another 20 plus years to hit 10 billion around 2058.
Wow.
Here's
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. Here is a quick summary of how we got here. We didn't hit a billion people until 1804. So it took us 300,000 years or whatever to hit the 1 billion mark, and just over 200 years to add 7 billion more. After 1804, it took another 123 years to hit 2 billion in 1927, then 3 billion in 1960, 4 in 1974, and 5 in 1987, 6 billion in 99, and 7 billion in 2011. Some people including some people don't want population growth to slow down and think it could lead to population collapse. So we wouldn't want have enough people, enough young people to take care of old people or keep the economy churning. But obviously, people worried about climate change are not excited about this either, are not excited about the prospect of adding more of us to an already crowded planet. For what it's worth, the UN is touting it as an accomplishment of humanity. Current life expectancy is just under 73 years, up from 58 half a century ago. And they think we'll hit 77 years by 2050. But while 8 billion might be a, quote, milestone in human development, they also say it's a day to consider humanity's shared responsibility for the planet. We are not the only thing on this planet.
Nope.
There's thousands and thousands and thousands of other living things on it. This is always an interesting one to me, and there's always going to be, you know, a 50-50 thing, if not more or less, give and take of people that are in favor of this, people that don't care, they just think it's interesting, and people that are scared by this, that are worried by this. I don't begrudge anybody their feelings about it, no matter where you're coming to on this one. This is not one of those ones where I'm going to get on my soapbox and say you should care, this and that and everything. Because it's such a it's such a subject that I am just a sitting back and listening on. I'm engaged when it comes to recycling. I'm engaged when it comes to taking care of the planet and those things. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I added three little people to this world. And I don't know if that was three too many. I don't know if it's three too little. I don't know. But I have added to this situation. So I know a number of people who will sit there and bark, there's too many people, there's too many people, and they got five kids. And I feel like that's a little hypocritical.
But then
you get into that whole, but, well, should, you know, wait a minute. We saying we shouldn't be having so many kids? Right? I'm not going to say that. I am not comfortable saying that we should not be having as many kids. I'm not at all comfortable at telling others what to do with that. That starts to get a little bit too close to a dictatorship for me. Mm-hmm. And anytime we're doing that, just like with forced patriotism or any of these other things, these are signs. These are big signs.
Or forced birth.
Yes. Yes. Like, no, I don't want to get anywhere near that. But I don't want my, and I can't be the only one's, sensitivity to that subject to get us into a place of, oh, God, we got literally people on top of people on top of people. Like, like we've all seen, you know, some of these disaster movies and stuff and how they go and all that.
Yeah. But it does bring up a lot of other topics that are worthwhile conversations to be had, such as poverty, hunger, homelessness. So are we just going to keep adding people to the mix here and not talk about any of these other issues and try to fix any of these other issues? Is the most important thing that we just keep having babies so that there are young people to take care of the old people? Well, where are the old people going to live? Mm-hmm. Where are the young people going to live? What are they going to eat? I mean, I'm not for forced birth or forced non-birth either, and I don't know what the option is.
We do have to talk about it, though.
Yes. Well,
it is one of those subjects we can't be. How I'm being about the subject is not how we can be as a world. And not, this is something we got to work on together as a world, too, by
world.
The way.
Yes.
This is not something, you know, China does their own thing. We do our own thing, that kind of stuff. We're still at it. It's not going to change anything unless we all work together. Mm-hmm. If anything, China is a glowing example of how this can go wrong, where you've got so many, they're missing a generation, it's like, mm-hmm. Because of their population,
they're
quote
also
unquote, control.
Missing a gender.
yes. which is, they are in a lot of trouble because of, you know, and they're still trying to figure out how to work that out. And that's arguably, not unarguably, one of the smartest nations in the world. You can't argue that. I don't like China's politics. I hate China's politics.
But they're smart people.
But I'm not, you have to separate the two, of the government and the people. And the people themselves, they've pretty much proven over multiple decades and centuries that they are creative and do a lot of,
intelligent.
Yes. So if they're having issues with this subject, it should tell you a lot about the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And piggybacking off of what Melissa said, and I did have this set up. I apologize, everybody. Pyramid made of 20 tons of plastic from Nile River sparks plan to fund massive cleanups.
Oof.
Show this to Melissa, this picture. I don't know. Well, you can see that, Melissa.
Yeah, that's a pretty giant pile of junk.
Yeah. A different sort of Great Pyramid just erected in Egypt's western desert, which rather than enshrining a pharaoh's glory, draws attention to the issues of plastic pollution. Constructed at the onset of what the builders hope will be a century of plastic cleanup, it also acts as a striking visual ahead of annual meeting of the signees of the Paris Climate Accord. And that'll be taking place in Egypt. Located just outside of Cairo, this immense structure took 5 days to build, weighs a whopping 20 tons, is taller than a three-story building, and is made using the equivalent of 1 million plastic water bottles collected from the Nile River.
Wow.
Led by zero waste company Zero Co. and wine sellers The Hidden Sea, it seeks to fund large-scale cleanups for the next 100 years and drive accountability for the single-use plastic problem in an initiative called the 100-Year Cleanup. This speaks to something that you have spoken to many times, Melissa, about holding corporations accountable. That is a lot of what the Zero Company is looking to do.
Yeah, we have to. We have to do something. Plastic is in everything now. They're finding it in animals. They're finding it in babies' bloodstreams. Microplastics have infiltrated, and the damage that that's going to cause to humanity for who knows how long. And I mean, that also brings up our healthcare system. How are we going to deal with the fallout of having these plastics in our body if we can't afford to go to the doctor to have these things looked at.
Right.
I mean, this talks to a whole huge, bigger problem of that we are dealing with as a society and as a country.
I don't know. I think that the best bet now is just to start over. I mean, you know, we can live on the moon, right? Or Mars? Or we can't move to those?
No, no.
We got to make this work. Okay, yep. I guess we should probably make this planet work.
We probably should,
yeah,
James.
Yeah, okay. Yep. It's probably a good idea.
I think it does
speak to a lot of those things. Hopefully it sparks, you know, people thinking about these things, working on these things, looking into these things. Because I'll tell you, the younger generation is not waiting. They are not waiting.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God they are.
Because these problems seem so unsurmountable and huge. It's easy to get overwhelmed and feel hopeless.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear things, statistics like there's microplastics in babies' bloodstreams.
That's how wars get out of hand, is people thinking that, oh, it's too big, I can't do anything about it, let's just let this go. Let's, you know, this crazy madman running through Europe and everything, just collecting people and collecting supporters and stuff. It's getting too big. We can't do anything about it. And then it builds and it builds and it builds, and it turns into World War II. Maybe that's an extreme example. I don't care. It takes extremes right now to get people to listen to these subjects. Any one of those things that Melissa just ran through, hopefully people are caring about and getting involved in and doing and adding to and making them better. There's a lot to do. The plus side is where I started this whole conversation.
There's 8 billion of us to do it.
Yes. We're not alone in this. There's a lot of other people.
We don't have to do it perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
If all of us do something, make an effort, do what you do. But, I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect as long as you're doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes a long way. Take a break. We'll come back and get into some more fun. I want to talk about the people we're most thankful for. We got a survey about that coming up here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Just a couple of minutes left to take us to the top of the hour. I want to dive into this interesting poll. Thanksgiving is still over a week away, but it's never too early to start feeling grateful. A new poll asked Americans to name the people in their life they are most thankful for, and number one is our kids. 54% include their kids on their list. We're assuming that means pretty much all parents did. Mm-hmm. Our significant other is close to second at 53%, followed by our siblings at 45%, and 14% put a coworker on the list. Not too bad considering they're a non-relative.
Aren't parents on there anywhere?
Of course not. No. The poll also found the average person has 5 really solid people in their life that they can lean on whenever they need to. I think that part is maybe my favorite part of this study, this survey, if you will. I think that that's reassuring, especially to many people out there that don't think they have that, or don't think, maybe you just think on the surface you don't have a lot of support system or a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a step back and think about it, like count it actually, you realize, oh, I've got quite a few actually.
Yeah. Oh, and it's good to think about that. I think that there is power in thoughts of being grateful for the people in our lives and thinking about them.
I think that it's interesting that parents wouldn't name themselves, of course, or their parents. They wouldn't think of that. They would think of, because they're parents, they would think of their kids first and name their kids. And enough of that goes on where, oh, kids are so focused on this and this and this. So they're not thinking of parents. Like, by the time we get to the end of the list, parents aren't on here.
I was just, like, for real, they're not on there?
Well, to be fair, too, that is the role of a parent. We don't ask for thanks. We don't look for thanks. We just do our job, you know, that kind of thing. That being said, come on. I mean, at least, like, honorable mention.
Throw him a bone. Yeah, come on.
You let us out the top, put us in the top, 11, you know?
I mean, you kind of wouldn't be here without your parents.
I didn't want to call it out, but it is a good list. It's a good list. I think that there's never a bad time to take a moment to be thankful for things.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself, since last Friday, doing a lot of that instead of focusing on what isn't there or what we lost.
The negatives, yeah.
Just really taking that and spinning it of, I've lost this person, but I had all these memories with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been a lot worse. I could have never had any of those memories. A lot of that. I'm not saying it works all the time, or it always works for me, but I know that it's something that I've been working on and doing more and more. And all of this just to prepare so that when we go around the table on Thanksgiving Day, I don't repeat. I'm always the repeater, you know? My cousin says parents, and I say parents. Like, I want to come up with something original.
That's licorice.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. Oh, I like the idea of that. Like, everybody going around saying something serious and really
serious,
heavy.
And you're like, marshmallows?
Candy. Very thankful for... In fact, I get a little emotional when I think about it sometimes.
Does anybody have any Sour Patches that might help right now?
I got some Twizzlers I can wipe my eyes with. It's a little emotional. I love candy.
Hold on, let me get out my emotional support Snickers.
Yes. Oh, you just started something. Well, there that goes now. That's the next one. I have to have this life-size Milky Way with me. I have to. It's my emotional support candy.
I love it. That's great.
We have to go to break. I can't. There's no way I can talk for the next 5 minutes. We got to go to break. We'll come back and have some more fun. I'm walking, just picturing some guy walking around, just walking into a business meeting with a big Snicker bar, just a life-size Snicker bar with him. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun at Mornings on WFHR.